Well, good morning. Good morning to you all that are here, and good morning to you at home. It's great to be here again. And yeah, I hope that the message that I've got this morning is one for all of us. So before I speak, let me pray. Heavenly God, we are blessed to be able to come together in your name and to have your word read aloud and to be proclaimed and to be taught. I pray that through your grace and the gifting of your Holy Spirit, we will know this morning some of the hope that we have in you, not just for today, but for all eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you're going to have to forgive me. I'm coming, like a few others, over COVID. I'm over it, yes, but I'm just sort of getting over it, as one might say. The reading this morning from 1 Peter, it is a great little reading, and whilst it's little, it is not small theologically. It is huge. So I'm only going to bring a small part of that out this morning, and I hope that you're with me in it. So it is written to a church that has been under persecution. And the object of the epistle is to encourage and inspire and to provide guidance to the church through the difficult times that they were going through. The writer of the epistle, Peter, is commonly understood to be that very same Peter that Jesus called into ministry, that was chosen by Jesus to be the rock upon which his church would be built. And Peter knows himself what it was to live with the fear of persecution, standing at the cross, seeing his Lord and Master die. Then within hours, for the fear of his own life, he disowns the one who he said he loved. Jesus died on the cross. It was the end of all of Peter's hopes. He knew only bitter sorrow, particularly for his own denials. For as the dawn would come, one would think it might bring a fresh hope, but to Peter it brought sorrow. With the crowing of the rooster, he heard the echo of the curses he called down upon himself. The resurrection of Jesus was a life-changing reality for Peter. And he now writes of a sure hope, a hope that holds the future in the present because it is anchored in the past. Peter hopes for God's salvation, God's deliverance from sin and death. His hope is sure, because God has already accomplished his salvation in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. For Jesus did not stay dead on that Easter day. We know that he rose again and rose in a new life. The resurrection shows that God has made the crucified one both Lord and Christ. And at the right hand of the Father, Jesus rules until that day when he will come to restore all things new. With the resurrection of Jesus and his entrance into glory, a new dawn has begun, a new age has begun. And Peter now waits for that day when Jesus will be revealed from heaven. Peter's hope is now a living hope in Jesus. And he encourages us into that living hope, even this morning. For Christ's resurrection spells hope for us all, not just because he lives, but because of God's mercy, we also live in him. In his great mercy, God has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And by that resurrection of Christ, God has given life not only to him, but also we are given a new birth in God. In Christ's triumph, God makes all things new, beginning with us, with you and with me. And like those who Peter was writing to, we too are living in troubled times. There seems always to be something coming over the horizon which is revealing new threats to us almost daily. And while we're talking of hope, and as I've spoken to a couple this morning here, hopes have recently been dashed, certainly in my life. See, in the late 70s, I thought I'd like to go on that train journey that goes from Sydney to Perth. It is called the Indian Pacific. Or go from Adelaide to Darwin on the Gaan. I have hoped about doing that since the late 70s, so that's a few years ago. And then because of COVID, plans for a European trip changed a couple of years ago. With us coping with COVID, I made a new plan, or not I, but my wife and I, Ruth and I, made a plan to this year, now this was a year ago we did this, to go for a big bucket list holiday, one of my bucket list holidays anyway. And we had planned a year in advance and paid for it, a year in advance, to go from Sydney to Adelaide, spend time in Adelaide, go to Darwin by the Gaan, spend time in Darwin. It was going to be 17 days of beautiful bliss. Well, we arrived in Sydney, spent the night visiting some people we knew, and the next day testing positive. That was Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. we were meant to get on the train and go, but we were locked down in isolation in a lovely little, and I mean little, hotel in the Chinese district of Sydney. Well, Chinese Quarter, I don't know what they call it, but it was such a little hotel, there was nothing. We had tea bags and UHT milk. Two coffee cups, two glasses, two teaspoons, and no other food. So we sent out help, 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 and we got some groceries delivered to us because this cheap hotel had no room service. No anything. We asked for a bowl or a plate. No, sorry. Nope. You've got a cup and that's it. So our hopes were dashed. But Ruth was able to encourage us in saying, you know what, we can give thanks for many things. Give thanks for the comfort that we were in, for the food that we did receive, for the safety that we enjoyed. You know, at times we may feel that there's a lack of hope, as there are so many things in this world that are pressing down on us. The latest amount this past week or two is foot and mouth disease. It's going to ruin us. Previously it was monkeypox. Presently and still it's COVID changing, and I don't know what variation we're up to now. I've lost count, to be honest. But I'm double vaxxed and I'm double boosted, and I hope that it won't get it, but I did got it. And now, you know, it's ongoing. Our region, the part of the world that we live in, is being challenged in ways it's never been challenged before. Is our security safe? Well, we hope it is. In Europe, Russia is waging a war upon its neighbours because of one man seeks more power. This war is causing problems around the world. It's causing food shortages, fuel shortages, financial repercussions, with inflation and interest rates going up. And many are going to find themselves in serious financial difficulty. So how do we feel and how do we respond? Because this is going on all the time, it's relentless. Do we hope that all things will be okay in the end? The hope that we have as Christians is not wishful thinking, nor is it a hope against all other hope, because that is hopelessness. Our hope should be and is a firm conviction of an actuality, the hope that is being preserved for us through Christ in heaven. Because he has compassion on those whom he has chosen, God gives us hope through a new birth. And a new birth implies starting afresh, a new beginning. What we were and what we had to look forward to is being left in the past. God has transformed us, making us new, giving us both a new hope and a new inheritance. What is this hope? Well, given the context, I believe it is referring to a confident expectation that we will all share in Christ's resurrection, knowing that where Jesus is now, we someday will also be. That this hope is living would seem to mean that it's not something that I have put aside, not something that I put in a cupboard to bring out whenever I might need it. Rather, it is an active part of my life, here and now, every day. We all know that life in this flesh is short, but my hope is in a life that will not end. Why live as though this is all the life that I have? Peter goes on to explain an inheritance, one that we all share in. This inheritance, which God has given us, birth to an eternal inheritance. We might think of inheritance being something in conjunction with the death of the person, leaving an inheritance to others, to family, to loved ones. But here, the only death is in a sense ours as we die to self and to sin, and we live our new life in Christ. Having a new birth implies that we die to that old life, and in this new life we have an inheritance that is awaiting us until indeed we die to this life and enter into heaven. Now this inheritance will never perish, he says, nor spoil, nor fade. It is safely kept in heaven until we arrive. It does not need polishing, it does not need dusting, and it is not at the mercy of an investment broker or economics that are ricocheting around the world, and it will not go out of style or spoil. It will last. It's very easy for us to get caught up in the here and now, focusing on temporary and volatile things that surround us and make up our lives this day. But we have something waiting for us that is so much better. So what do we do in the meantime? How do we live today? We have no reason at all, really, to be concerned about the things that we have now, for they are all temporary. We have no reason to hold on to what we do have so tightly. No reason to fear losing what we have here, for we can't take it with us. None of it will last, and none of it is worth taking with us into our eternal inheritance. Something better than this life awaits us all. Peter encourages us to let go of the stuff of this life and embrace the glorious inheritance that awaits us. He uses such flowing and detailed language. The Father, God our Father, who gives a new birth to his children through the resurrection of Christ, also through Christ brings them into a living faith. Our faith and our hope are in God. His living word, the good news of the gospel, has brought life to us and continues to bring life every new day. So we look to the future, to the salvation that was sealed for us by Christ's resurrection and planted in our hearts. The seed of the word will be revealed completely when Christ comes again in glory. For our hope is anchored in the past. Jesus rose from the dead. Our hope remains in the present. Jesus lives today. Our hope is completed in the future. Jesus will come again. I ask that you reflect this morning about being born into a living hope and ask yourself, what is your greatest hope? Is it to see Christ come again? Is it to know that you will be sharing in his eternal kingdom forever and ever? Well, I hope for your sake it is, and you do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.